And so we will learn it tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord, and help us to see Jesus again. Help us to see one of his characteristics in the book of Ezra. Cause us to look upon and to see it. In Jesus, we pray and thank you for what you're going to do with us now. Amen. Now, the study tonight will be Ezra. And the title for Ezra that I will give is The Lord Jesus Christ, the Faithful Scribe. The Faithful Scribe. And let's look into the introduction, and let's see in the serious progression that we have really looked upon. The first book that we looked was Genesis. And Genesis, Jesus was pictured as the seed of the woman. And then we look into Exodus, remember? And in Exodus was the Passover lamb, all right? In the book of Leviticus, we had a double picture of the sacrifice and the high priest. And then the book of Numbers, he was lifted up like a serpent, right? In the book of Deuteronomy, he was the spokesman. He said, Moses said, God will raise unto you a prophet. You listen to him. In the book of Joshua, he was the captain of our soul. In the book of Judges, pardon me? The protector of our life. And then the book of Ruth, he was the redeemer. In 1st and 2nd Samuel, is allowed? The intercessor, all right, good class. And last Sunday was 1st, 2nd, and 1st, 2nd on King and on Chronicles. And he was? Ooh, they forgot already. They forgot? Oh, let me see. He was there. First King and Second King. All right. They forgot already. Well, we find it out. Okay. All right. Let's have the topic discussion. Okay. I will not tell you until you find it. All right. The topic for discussion this evening is the book of Ezra and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Ezra and it is relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, you don't have to take notes. I wrote two books on this. The first book is not too big. And if you need a copy of how Jesus is in the Old Testament, here is half of the Old Testament. And so you ask me and I get copies for you. I did it in this church just on a Wednesday night and became a famous book. I had 20,000 students studying on this, most of them in jails, and just they love it. All right, now that we have the discussion, the only thing we're going to see is how Ezra portrayed one of the characteristics of Jesus. I want to review with you the general information. And we know this, but it's good to know. And why do we look Jesus in the scripture? Because in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 24, and in verse 27, we find this remarkable and gorgeous statement of Jesus trying to explain himself to two disciples who were discouraged. And Jesus said, in verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the thing concerning himself. So he began Moses, the first five books of the Bible, and all the prophets. And the only thing that Jesus taught to these two men was things concerning himself. Then he appeared to the disciples, same chapter. And now look in verse 44. He appeared to the disciples, and what did he do so the disciples can believe in him? The Bible said that he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. Now he compiled the Old Testament entirely and said, now the things that happened at Jerusalem are the things that were taught about me according to the scripture. If you go to the next book in the Gospel of John, in chapter 5, and in verse 39, Jesus had a different audience. And the audience there were Pharisees. And they were really arguing with Jesus. And in chapter 5 and in verse 39, the Bible said that Jesus said to these people, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." And then he said, "And they are," talking about the scripture, "and they are they which testify of me." And so he keep on pondering that the Holy Scriptures talk about him. But the verse who say it all in a nutshell is Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7, there you find the entire story in a nutshell. The Bible said in Hebrews 10 and in verse 7, "Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me." And you know, you have a big volume who has 66 volumes. That's what the Bible, the Protestant Bible has, 66 volumes, all right? And in this volume, it is written about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are compelled by the scripture, at least once in a lifetime, to look upon the entire Bible and see how the Bible portrays Jesus in one way or another. So let's go back to the book of Ezra now and see two things. We're going to see the historical information and then the personal information about Ezra, and then the typological information, and then we hope to get a message. Remember, we're going to see the historical information, and then later on we see the personal information about Ezra. Then on the basis of that information, we draw a picture of Jesus, which we call a typological information, and then we see his faithfulness, all right? So let me get Ezra with me here. And the first thing that we see in chapter 1 of Ezra, and verse 1, and two, here is the historical information, Ezra chapter 1 and 2. We see the return of the Jewish people from captivity. Now, Ezra came in a picture right after Jeremiah, because as you know, the people disobey God and do not have the Passover for a long time. 70 times they miss the Passover. So God's going to keep them 70 years in captivity as a penalty why they did not keep the Passover. And so now come the time of going back. And the book of Daniel, let's speak about this captivity. And so it is a time to go back to Jerusalem, and God's going to use one man in the history of the world, an unbeliever, to tell the Jew, go back to your land. Look in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia," that tells you that God controlled the unbelievers, "and that he made a proclamation through all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying," he's an unbeliever, used by God, look what he said, "Thus said Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah." Oh, wow, an unbeliever now wants to become a mighty man. An unbeliever in the hands of God is a puppet. Okay, and you can see that this is a puppet in the hands of God. You can see through the Bible the sovereignty of God, all right? Things that happen did not happen because, oh, this man interfered. No, God used them. So the first thing you see in the historical information is that God is using an unbeliever to fulfill his will. Now, from chapter 3, we go to Ezra chapter 3, and from Ezra chapter 3 to chapter 6, we see the rebuilding of the temple. Let me read a few verses in chapter 3, verse 1. "And when the 7 months was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Zadok, and his brethren, the priests of Zerubbabel, and the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and built the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offering thereof, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And so now they try to rebuild. Solomon's temple is gone, and they're trying to rebuild. This is the temple of Nehemiah. This temple is going to be destroyed once more. And Herod, in the time of Jesus, will rebuild the temple again. And that was the temple that Jesus pointed out and said, will not be one stone upon the others to be up in Luke 21. But so from chapter 3 all the way all the way to chapter 6, we see that the temple is in process. There is a rebuilding of the temple of Jerusalem. The Jews are back into the area. This is not the time of Nehemiah yet. Nehemiah came to build the walls, not the temple, but Ezra came to rebuild the temple. Now, from chapter 8 all the way up, we had a renovation of their devotion to God. And so let me read a few things in chapter 8. The temple is concluded, and the Bible said in chapter 8, these are now the chief of their fathers, and this is the genealogy of them that went up with me from Babylon in the reign of Artaxerxes the king. Now, of the sons of Phinehas, and they give you all the details and all the things that come. And then in verse 21, there is something never happened for 70 years. Then I proclaim a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all the substance. In other words, for the first time, they really start thinking spiritually. Look in verse 24. Then I separate 12 of the chief of the priests, Sherebiah, Hezabiah, and 10 of their brethren with them. And there was a reason for this. And waited unto them the silver and the gold and the vessels, even the offering of the house of God, which the king of, and his counselor and his lord and all Israel there present had offered. And so they come again a time to offer to the Lord. Look in verse 33. Now on the fourth day was the silver and the gold and the vessels weighed in the house of our God. Now the people gave the money, and now the money goes into the treasure of the house of the Lord. And so this is the first time, really, that Ezra presented to the Lord a revival in the land. They become spiritual again. They become part of the fellowship with God. And so was a renovation of their devotional in their life. It is amazing. But in chapter 6, going back to chapter 6 and verse 19, you will notice that this is an amazing thing that happened in Israel. And the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month. This is amazing. When they came out of Egypt, there was only three times, and they prospered so much that they forgot their spiritual life. And now God punished them. If you're a child of God, God's going to chastise you if you disobey the Lord, and not giving him your life, your goods, everything. And so he chastised them for 70 years, give rest to the land, and now Ezra, the scribe, produced the Passover. No Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a governor, but Ezra, the scribe, the priest, will do the work of the Lord. And so historically, we can say that Israel was away, and God brought in a scribe, a man of the law, to bring God back into the place. Now, we need some personal information about this man, Ezra, if we're going to draw a picture of Christ. And in chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, I'd like to look into that personal information. Here's the family background of Ezra. In chapter 7, verse 1, now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Zadok, Zadok means justice, and the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Mariaot, the son of Serahiah, the son of Uzi, the son of Buki, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, and the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. You see where he came from? So he can be a chief priest in the area, because a priest has to come from a family of priests. And so he qualified to be the priest, all right? That's his family background. In verse 6, we have his professional background. Look at verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel has given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. He was the attorney general of the Jewish people. He knew the law. He copied the law. He brought the law back into the land. And an unbeliever king recognized this is a man who knows the law. Now, you know the Bible, and people around you, they recognize that you are a believer. They don't tell you. They maybe do not admire you, but they know you are a believer. And so verse 6 said his professional background is given. Verse 10 in the same chapter, he's a spiritual background. Let me read it for you. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Is that a good spiritual background? Doesn't say Ezra studied law in Babylon and studied as an attorney in Babylon. In order to be a scribe, one who copied, you had to become an attorney first to know the law and how to copy and so on. But the key, the preparation, was his heart. You see that? Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law. Now, when you read the Bible, we read the Bible in casual ways. We read the Bible sometimes to argue. But when we prepare our heart to read the Bible speaks to us. The Bible really checked to you. So his spiritual ground is that he was a real man, a man who... when you can trust him, he was a man real as can be, according to the law. He was a man that whatever the law said is what I'm going to do. So that comes to the great message of the book. And the great message of the book is in chapter 7, verse 12 and 13, trustworthiness. Look at verse 12 and 13. Artaxerxes, king of kings, and to Ezra the priest, here's the decree, a scribe of the law of God of heaven, perfect peace, and at such a time, I make a decree. Now here's an unbeliever king saying that all the day of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, in my kingdom, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. Wow! Here is an unbeliever king who possessed all these Jews as servant, actually as a slave, and now he signs a decree and free them. And he said, now, because of this man knows the law of God, because this man is trustworthy, anybody who wants to go with you, just go. So God is using Ezra as a man who have impressed the mind of the king. And the king then sees in Ezra a man in which he can trust him. And so whatever you want to take with you, just go ahead, go. They're yours. You go and worship your God. Now, this is a picture of a true, faithful scribe. They carry with him those who are protected by the law. Let's go to John Gospel. That's, now you understand a little bit more I hope you will, the prayer of our Lord. Remember in John Gospel chapter 17, we have what we call the Lord's Prayer. In this is the Lord's Prayer. The one in Matthew is the disciples' prayer. They ask him, how shall we pray? And he said, Heavenly Father, and so on. But here is the Lord's Prayer. And look at what the Lord said. He reveals the prayer that he was trustworthy. God trusts God like King Artaxerxes trusts Ezra. God trusts Jesus with his people. These words spake Jesus and lift up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Look at what Jesus did. I have manifested thy name. The name of God, as we study about 4 o'clock, it becomes the law. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest unto me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them what? The words which thou gavest me. See, the law. I have given the men the law, the word of God. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And so Jesus is saying, Father, you gave me these people, and what I gave them, what is it? The word. That's just exactly what Ezra did. God gave to Ezra these people. And what he did when he arrived to Jerusalem, he opened the law and read the law and rebuilt the temple. Now in Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 to 3, again the story repeats about Jesus, the one who is the faithful scribe of God, who has given us the law. God, who was sundry times, Hebrews 1 verse 1, and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the world. So the last scribe of God is his Son. I listened carefully to the broadcast on the Israeli and Palestinian difficulty and the bloodshed between people. And one professor from the university in Los Angeles trying to explain that the problem is that the Arabs are very good people. They have Jesus as one of the prophets, that they have other people speaking after Jesus. And that's the problem. The problem is that the last scribe is Jesus. The last scribe in the Bible is Ezra. That is the last man who wrote, Ezra. A picture that the last man that will speak on behalf of God is Jesus. And to say that we love God, Allah, and to say that we love Jesus, one of their prophets, is wrong. He is the prophet. And the Arabs don't want anything to do with anybody who said that Jesus is that prophet. Need to be destroyed, say the Quran. Because they have their Muhammad, the last man who spoke to them. And if you go a little above Syria, you get into Iran. And the Iranian people said, oh, no, Muhammad is not the last. Baha'i is the last. And then you have Baha'i, But the last prophet of the Hebrew people, the last scribe who spoke the law of God is Ezra. And the last person that vocally spoke the word of God is Jesus, right here. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who he hath appointed heir of all things. Look at verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Nobody else sat down there, only Jesus. And so if we're going to have this war over and over and over and over again, because the Arabic world do not want to even hear that you mention the name Jesus as the final authority. And so what we have today is not a war between political powers, but religious powers. And it is the whole time war between Satan and the divine nature of God. And so here it is in a remarkable way. If we have a man that we really respect as the spokesman of God, the final spokesman of God, after the 70 weeks that were right there in the 70 years that were right there in Babylon, is Ezra. If we have a spokesman from God today, is Jesus. He trusts nobody else. Jesus. Only Jesus. So here is the message I have for you. Jesus is the faithful, the real faithful scribe. I'm going to mention one verse for you again in Ezra, in chapter 10 of Ezra, in verse 6. Ezra chapter 10, and in verse 6. Then Ezra rose up from before the house of God. The house of God is all completed. And went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. And when he came thither, he did eat no bread, no drink water, for he mourned because of the transgressions of them that had been carried away. He really became a faithful man. The house was made. And then he said, we are sinners. We are sinners before God. And he introduced himself as a sinner, a faithful man. He thought of himself no more than a sinner. Here is the scribe, so he's paying himself, actually. He's punishing himself for the transgression of others. What a picture. When you go to Matthew's in chapter 26, in verse 39, what a picture of our Lord Jesus. Matthew's 26, in verse 39, the Bible said, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass upon me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. In other words, the Lord knew that he needed to pay for himself, that he needed to carry the sin of all the people of the whole world until he's coming back. And then he saw the heavy weight, and then he closed himself with the Lord. He says, any other way, but if there's no other way than this, let thy will be done and accomplished. That's faithfulness. That's faithfulness. And Paul then transferred these to all of us, especially those who teach the Bible, in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 4, in verse 2, and give you and me, who are Bible teachers, a strong assignment. Moreover, it is required, in 1 Corinthians 4, 2, moreover, it is required in stewards and administrators that a man be found what? Faithful. That's the key. That's the key in any work of the Lord. That a man be found faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to the law of God. And Ezra was the man that God used to be faithful to the law of God. He was a faithful scribe. And Jesus was the man that God can trust to come, to die for us, to speak to us. And that's what the Bible said. The last words of God are the words of Jesus. So when somebody come up with any other book than the Bible, then you are in endangered territory if you read that book. Now you can read it for curiosity to see what they said. But I tell you, nobody will make any statement from God except Jesus. He is the faithful scribe. That's narrow-minded. That's very bring discrimination, whatever you want to do, but that's the way it is. God spoke only through the Lord Jesus. And the final words of God are from Jesus, who is the faithful scribe of God. That eliminates all kinds of people. I tell you, America is in danger of losing that quality of having Jesus as the only mediator between God and man. And it's very, very, very sad. So we are, praise the Lord, for the picture of the book of Ezra. That if you read it, it's just all written in a form, a king making a decree so that this man can go and build a temple. And God has chose Jesus, and in him he built the temple. Praise God for the faithfulness of our Savior. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ, we find the faithfulness of the one who had been sent. Thank you, Lord, for Ezra, who grew up in Babylon, in the middle of a tribulation, and in the middle of a country who do not care about God, but he was a man of the law, and you use him because of his faithfulness to the law to rebuild the temple. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus came, and because of his faithfulness, you use him to build this spiritual temple of which we are a part of. So as Paul said, help us, O God, to be good stewards, to be faithful in the kingdom, faithful in our walk of life, faithful in our giving, faithful in giving our talents to you, faithful in exercising our life to you. God, help us, correct us, chastise us, give us direction so that we must follow you and be faithful. In Jesus we pray and thank you for what you're going to do with us. Amen.